Welcome, RJobot.com. This is TobielPod.com coming to you from our makeshift studio in the old town of Stockholm, Sweden. Today is Thursday, the 21st of June, 2012, the summer solstice and the longest day of the year. On this day in 1779, Spain declares war on Great Britain, helping out the United States. In 1840, Georgian writer Akaki Tsereteli was born. In 1900, China, in a bold move by the Dowager Empress, amidst the Boxer Rebellion, formally declares war on the United States, Great Britain, Germany, France, and Japan. In 1956, in a bold move by the playwright Arthur Miller, he refuses to name communists amidst the McCarthy hearings and is cited for contempt. In 1964, Michael Schwerner, Andrew Goodman, and James Cheney were murdered in Mississippi for registering black voters. In 1990, earthquake devastates Iran near the Caspian coast. In 2009, Greenland assumes self-rule. Today is International Go Skateboarding Day. Today, it's me on my own. So, the Georgian Dream names majoritarian candidates to Tbilisi districts. They are former Georgian ombudsman Sosar Subadi for Samgori. He's a very well-known figure, was quite an ombudsman. He used to write with, I think, Kavkasioni, and has been sort of a human rights guy for a long time, although became quite embittered as he left the ombudsman's office when the opposition was floating around with, I don't really know who, I think he was with Burjanadze for a while, etc. Levan Berzanishvili, one of the leaders of the Republican Party, he was head of the National Library for a while. He and his brother, Dato Berzanishvili, have been politically active for a while, originally from Ajada. Levan Berzanishvili will be running in Vake for the Republican Party. Eka Beselia, the sort of journalist, interviewer person, and Nadzala Devi. Republican Vakhtang Khmaladze in Tatsminda. Khmaladze is a lawyer and sort of constitutional theorist, highly respected. Dato Berzanishvili, as I mentioned, Levan's brother in Didube. Member of the party, our Georgia Free Democrats, Victor Dolidze in Chukureti district. Tiniko Khidasheli will run, who's the wife of Dato Usupashvili, and high up in the Republican Party, will run either in Sabartalo and Nisani Samgori. She's been increasingly quite aggressive over the last couple of years, but doing lots of campaigning. Interesting that they're almost all Republicans, and there don't seem to be any or too many Free Democrats in there except Dolidze. The Georgian Dream they conducted two public opinion polls to determine these candidates. I mean, I guess they're fairly well known. Be interesting to see who the government comes up with. There was the Georgian Dream held a campaign rally in Ozurgeti on the 17th of June. They named the majoritarians for Guria at the rally. It's Zviad Kvantitiradze, who's a former ambassador. He will run in Ozurgeti. Former football player Temur Chaidze in Lanchkuti. Singer and journalist Temur Chikwaseli in Chokhatauri. Next campaign rallies will take place in Kakheti, but we're not sure the date yet. The state agency for enforcement said that there's a fine of $45 million to Georgian Dream. They announced that if Bidzino does not pay it within the next 7 days, compulsory enforcement actions will be undertaken, whatever that means. Probably it means that they'll put his property up to auction or something like this. The fine was originally $90 million, and then the city court cut it in half. The appeal court will announce a decision about citizenship on the 29th of June. I mean, that fine's a little ridiculous. The $90 million fine, which was ridiculous in the first place, then they cut it in half and said, "You better play that," you know, but there was no negotiation about that, so I mean, I would assume that he's just going to ignore that one too. I'm not sure whether $45 million is so much better than $90 million. Newspapers Batumalebi and Net Gazeti had an impressive investigation about human trafficking and sex tourism in Gonio, Ajada, village just over the Turkish border. NetGazeti.ge reports that there are at least 27 illegal bordellos in this tiny village with about 500 sex workers from Central Asia. They're forced to pay $700 U.S. dollars to the employer to cover traveling costs and $5,000 for employing them, meaning we're having sex slaves and trafficking going on. One Kazakh who already managed to return to her homeland confirmed this. Kazakh embassy helped her because her passport had been taken away. Locals also confirmed that they held a protest yesterday about this. In Uzbekistan, a Georgian woman was arrested for trafficking 300 young women. According to the U.S. Human Trafficking Report, Georgia is a source, transit, and destination country for sex trafficking and forced labor. And by the way, due to an American law, if there's not improvement in this, you know, there's a trigger that means that there can be no U.S. support of a country that doesn't sort of make good faith efforts to do something about that. I think it's the only thing like that, the only sector like that. On this, which was a law passed by Congress. On the 13th of June, John Bass, U.S. Ambassador John Bass, gave a long speech about Georgia at the Atlantic Council in Washington. Several quotes from civil.ge. It's worth taking a look at. It's online if you look in the Atlantic Council. I mean, he talked quite a bit about Iran and Georgia's relations with Iran and how Georgia better be careful. He said, there is more energy in Georgia towards modernization than democratization. And I'm quoting, the trend is a reflection of the priorities articulated by the Georgian population. When you look at polling data, Georgians consistently identify as their principal concerns unemployment, economic development, reintegration with the territories, and rehabilitation of infrastructure, well ahead of strengthening democratic institutions, Bass said. U.S. assistance to Georgia will depend on strengthening its democracy. He talked about the comparative absence of tolerance and respect for divergent viewpoints. He said Saakashvili's policies in Russia were not made up out of whole cloth. He said there is a landscape in place which enables the kind of competitive elections that Georgians would like to see. Good to see that landscape is in place. There is concern over access to information is a big issue. And he said too many people have to rely on a single source of information. The United Nations Special Rapporteur on Human Rights and Freedom of Assembly and of Association, Maina Kiai, released a report on Georgia after his visit in February. The report is generally very critical and says that there's a, quote, lack of conductive environment in Georgia allowing political parties to operate as equals. Stark differences with regards to resource allocation were observed in law and in practice, end quote. The report also says that, quote, unless remedial action is taken, citizens in Georgia will not be able to effectively elect leaders to represent their interests and to hold them accountable, end quote. Kiai, very highly regarded Kenyan with fellowships at Stanford and Harvard. It'll be interesting to see if any cracks about him being black or African show up. You know, who is this guy to criticize us and that sort of thing, and who they come up with. I can guess the sources, but interesting to see if anyone hears of any of those. The report recommends that the government, quote, seriously consider reviewing the prerogatives of the Chamber of Control and particularly of the new unit responsible for monitoring finance related to political parties, in particular with regards to the need to substantiate its decision and the obligation to obtain a judicial instruction before taking any actions in the event of reasonable doubt when an illicit activity is suspected, and to ensure that it's transparent, independent, and accountable, and seen to be so in law and in fact. End quote. In order to, quote, ensure that civil society is systematically consulted before any legislative initiative is adopted, civil society participation could, for instance, be institutionalized rather than made available on an ad hoc basis, end quote. And the report also said, quote, increased efforts to ensure that all political parties, including opposition parties, have genuine, equitable, and adequate access to state resources for election campaigning. It is especially crucial that the line between the ruling party and the state be clearly defined in order to create a level playing field, end quote. good report. Very much worth checking out. And thank you very much to Maina for writing that. Also, paperwork has been turned in by Ivanishvili to the United Nations Human Rights Committee, UNHRC, detailing how his loss of citizenship and denial of citizenship application violates the law. Civil.ge reports that the Deputy Economy Minister, Georgi Karbalashvili, will be the ruling party majoritarian candidate in Vake. He has become increasingly important in recent years. So, according to the ruling party's press office, UNM is expected to nominate other majoritarian members of parliament by the end of the month. And on campaigning in global TV, I've heard from somebody with good connections in Western Imereti that everybody wants a satellite out there for global TV, which they're handing out very, very cheaply, but that people with state jobs, teachers and this and that, are afraid to have the antenna seen, which evidently can be seen by anybody, because they're afraid that they're going to lose their job. But that almost everybody who doesn't have a state job is getting one. And people are going over to their houses in the evening to watch the news. Not because they necessarily think it's so much better, but just to give them something to compare it to, since all they can see right now is Imedi Rustaviori and state TV. In Zestapuni Market, there's a huge poster saying, quote, "Let's say no to Ivanishvili's, Alassani's, Khidashvili's, Davitashvili's, and Berdzenishvili's non-Georgian dream. Let's say no to politicians who sold themselves for money." There's a big photo of Bidzina that says, quote, "There is more to destroy," end quote. This comes from Misha's slogan that's around more and more that says, "There's more to build." So it's sort of like Misha the Builder and Bidzina the Destroyer. Interesting to see if that motif sticks around during the campaign. Police are still looking for Lasha Kurtanidze, a policeman from Igoeti, who allegedly was recording with hidden cameras the political views of his colleagues and giving the material to the Georgian Dream in exchange for $3,000. Allegedly, Irakli Sesiashvili, leader of Georgian Dream, was involved in the paying of the bribes. Four members of the Georgian Dream opposition coalition allegedly stole a pot of honey and are being investigated for theft. According to a press release by the Ministry of Interior, the men, quote, "parked the vehicle near the open market of Khunevi village, and Nikolos Sikharulidze, having noticed that the salesman Georgi Lomidze was out of sight, stole one pot of honey and attempted to leave the place of the crime. The loss of the pot of honey was noticed by a second salesman, Tamas Lomidze, perhaps related to Georgi Lomidze, who, along with Georgi Lomidze, chased the accusers and managed to return the pot after several demands were made," end quote. Bringing new meaning to political intrigues' use of honeypot, to paraphrase another famous Austrian, quote, "sometimes a pot of honey is just a pot of honey," end quote. Youth organization of Georgian Dream had its campaign "It's My Right to Know" with a rally of horns in Tbilisi against switching off radio stations in Marshutkas, which we've reported on before, as you may remember. Kakheti Information Center gave the report that one of the leaders of the Voluntary Reserve Military Service told them that the government expects danger starting the 25th of October. The members of the Reserve Service already have Garber knives in case of emergency. The government will give out guns as well. They've only had 5 days of training. Democracy and Freedom Works. Isn't that baby food? Okay, never mind. Garber, guess not. Democracy and Freedom Watch reports that just 4 months ahead of the elections, the ruling party passed a new law which frees socially vulnerable families from paying fines for not having paid electricity, natural gas, and bus tickets. The City Hall of Rustavi distributed potatoes to 420 poor families, according to the Channel 9 news agency Info9. NGOs asked the government to stop these kinds of activities. The government's interagency task force found the potatoes were provided to Rustavi City Hall by the Ministry of Finance after they had been confiscated from an organization that owed money to the state. It said that the distribution action was not connected to the use of funds from the National or local budgets, and that this practice is not illegal, but recommends to the Ministry of Finance to suspend the distribution of confiscated illegal property for social aims through local administrations during the electoral period. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I kind of wonder, how is it that potatoes become illegal? I mean, anyway, that would be a good follow-up for any journalist that may happen to be listening. Interpressnews.ge reports that the Deputy Minister of Energy and Natural Resources, Zura Arsoshvili, started to work for Tel Aviv. Shalvan Atalashvili ranks 79th in annual income for a public figure. He made 67,110 lari this year, as well as a 32,000 lari bonus last year. 100,000 lari a year for Shalva. Not too bad, considering that he's been boycotting parliament ever since he was elected in 2008. And there have been rumors that he's sort of taking off from politics, is not going to run, and this and that. Civil.ge reports that the National Bank reduced its interest rates by 0.25% to 5.75% on the 20th of June, following a fourth consecutive month of annual deflation in Georgia. Georgia's inflation slipped to negative 3.3% year-on-year, Civil.ge reports. Geostat says that Georgia's real gross domestic product grew 6.8% in the first quarter of 2012 compared to a year ago. As always, we don't have a whole lot of macroeconomic expertise here, but if anybody wants to shed some light on that, be interested to hear. I mean, if Georgia's, 3.3% deflation rate, I mean, that sounds pretty high, serious, especially if it's if that's just for a quarter. That would, I don't know, that would mean 13%. Annual deflation rate doesn't sound right to me. But, so, anyone from ISED or the World Bank or anybody who knows any more than we do wants to elucidate, we'd be happy to hear it. Sarkay News reports that a Russian company called Capital Group bought Modneuli, the copper mining company, and Quartzite, the gold mine, for $120 million U.S. dollars. The license of Modneuli will expire in 2014. Mining Investment, which also belongs to Capital Group, won a kind of creepy license auction in February with it we much reported on. We'll take over the fields Modneuli has worked on starting in 2014. People who know what they're talking about and have talked to Bielpod about this are saying that although there's new Russian involvement in the mining companies, it's MP Kobanakopia that continues to call the shots with all of this. Beyond Tbilisi reports that residents of Mskheta district village of Nakhchivan say leftovers from local factory in Barambo, of the local factories of Barambo, Ibermit, and Nakhchivan pollute the environment. Sewage water and chemical leftovers are dumped into the river Narekvavi, which flows into the Aragvi. Let's find out about that and see what we can learn about that. Anybody wants to hop in a canoe and see what those factories are sending into the rivers? Let us know, because my sense is that Barambo, Ibermit, and Nakhchivan would be extremely sensitive to a major consumer boycott. One of which I don't know anything. I don't know of one happening in Georgia, but those are the kind of places that would probably respond quickly to that. Interpress News reports that a 27-year-old pregnant woman died due to insurance policy failure. The Samtradia resident had IC Group insurance, but it turns out this insurance company's policy was not valid in Samtradia. She was hospitalized in Kutaisi, then taken to Khoni Hospital, but it turned out the hospital didn't have an anesthesiologist, and they decided to bring a doctor from Martvili. The 27-year-old woman died before the anesthesiologist arrived in Khoni, but the doctors managed to save the child. Ministry of Culture suspended the restaurant. You know, listen, I mean, this employee-based insurance base that Georgia has is just terrible. It's really awful. There's a lot of cases of things like, I mean, this is a really sad story, but it's just such a bad way to do this. And if anyone knows of a plan that Georgia has to provide normal health care for its citizens, I mean, copying employee-based health care for the United States, which has been such a colossal failure, I don't see why they're doing that, especially since the unemployment rate is so high and the insurance situation in Georgia is certainly not well organized. So I don't know. If anybody has a report that explains what the government's intention really is related to, you know, how it intends to provide or ensure that health care is provided for its citizens, I've never seen that. Ministry of Culture suspended the restoration works of Baghdad Cathedral, which is on the list of UNESCO World Heritage Sites. For those of you who don't know, it was in the cathedral was sort of in ruins, but then the government started sort of Disneylanding it up and sort of, I don't know, fixing it and changing it really fairly significantly, plastering over everything. His Sunday speech, the Patriarch called for the suspension as they were carried out without coordination of the Georgian Orthodox Church. So he was a little miffed, but it was UNESCO was really quite angry about it and was looking at pulling it from the list of important historical buildings because whatever was being done to it was so viewed by UNESCO as being so irresponsible. Comcast Press reports that the Georgian government will finance tuition of students from Georgia's breakaway regions of Abkhazia and South Ossetia at foreign universities. Interesting to hear how they'll do that. I guess that means that they'll have to use this sort of status-free travel document that the government of Georgia is trying to get Abkhaz to use. I have no idea whether they're using it or not. I'm guessing that they're not. But, you know, that coming on the heels of several years ago, you may have heard me mention it, but there were several Georgians that used to go on the UGRAD project program, the U.S. government program, out of the Kiev office, where those that spoke English would apply. They'd get into the project. I think there were four of them one year. I guess this must have been about probably 4 years ago, five years ago. And they did interviews. They went to Kiev. They got in. Everything was great. And were going to travel on Russian passports, of course, and then were told by the then Minister of Integration that they could not go with with their Russian passports, which didn't really matter because they could fly out of Kiev. But the Georgian government then told the American government not to give them the scholarships to go if they traveled on their Russian passports, saying they had to travel on their Georgian passports. The kids were then sort of taken aside and said, "We're very, very sorry. There's been a big glitch. You have to get Georgian passports if you want to go. We won't tell anybody." And of course, they all said no. And I spoke to them afterwards in Suchumi about this, and they were just very ticked off. And it was sad that the Georgian government had made that decision. And it was also very sad that the Georgian government had told the American government not to let the kids go with Russian passports. I mean, there's not that many people in Abkhazia that speak, you know, young people that speak English. And you're in the U.S. would have probably opened things up for them quite a bit. But they didn't go and said forget it. And I know at least a couple of them then went off and studied in Russia. Okay. So Civil.ge reports that after visiting Suchumi earlier this month, Deputy Secretary of Russia's Security Council, Rashid Nurgaliyev, arrived in South Ossetia on the 18th of June for a two-day working visit. Wonder what they're working on. Be interesting to see that agenda. I'm guessing the long-suffering voters of South Ossetia will not be seeing that agenda either. I wonder if the Vice President Ala, who actually won the election, will be allowed in any of those meetings or to see the working visit agenda. Georgia will host International Exercises Georgia 2012 with NATO in September. The exercises involve development. The exercises involve developing responses to okay. Transparency International has produced a report. Transparency International Georgia has produced a report on the Georgian pharmaceuticals market, which will be presented at noon tomorrow, Friday, at the Radisson Tbilisi Hotel. Pharmaceuticals market in Georgia is special. There are two companies, Aversi and PSP GPC, that have a dominant position and largely control import, retail, and also manufacturing of drugs. They're strong indications of a cartel between the two, But people will only talk about that off the record. Because of the vertical concentration, the two companies are able to influence the price of medicines, even in stores that are not theirs, because they control import and distribution of drugs to these stores. On a positive note, the report finds that manufacturing of drugs in Georgia is increasing. Aversi Rational and GMP, a daughter company of PSB, are getting very good at packaging imported bulk products. GMP is even in the process of getting certificates of export for some medicines to France. The Kavkaz Press news agency reports that the Chisinau mayor, Doran Chirtoaca, has proposed Misha's candidature for the next presidentials in Moldova. Quote, President Saakashvili's term, second term is expiring. He cannot propose his candidature anymore. Let's invite him to Moldova. If we have him for two terms, the situation in the country will change. Investments will be made, corruption will disappear, and order will be restored. End quote. Chirtoaca said at a meeting in Chisinau City Hall. This from a dedicated listener. Press release, Montreal, June 20th, 2012, CNW Telbec. Le Vion Rose Incorporated announced its latest store opening in Uptown Tbilisi in Tbilisi, Georgia, the company's first boutique in the country. This marks Le Vion Rose's 58th international store opening. By the way, this is a Canadian lingerie store, the premier Canadian lingerie store. Quote, we recently unveiled our new concept store at Uptown Tbilisi, where we are certain Georgian women will appreciate our offerings, said Francois Roberge, president and CEO of Le Vion Rose. Thanks to a solid partnership, we're thrilled to enter this exciting new market. Le Vion Rose's new concept store carries on the brand's classic and sophisticated designs by combining soft colors and satin finishes with dark, rich wood pieces. Wood pieces of underwear? I don't get that. Anyway, I'm not reading from the press release anymore. Does anybody have any information on where Uptown Tbilisi is? Like, I've never heard of that. Okay, that's our official trivia question. Is that the new mall that's out in the Northwest Territories by the embassy and the Goodwill? Or, I mean, I don't know. Or maybe it's in Vaca somewhere. Who knows? I don't know what Uptown Tbilisi is. Sounds like a developer name, which, I mean, I guess that's good that Georgia's now at a point of its development that developers could be naming neighborhoods, but it's also sort of sad. Henry Kerali was appointed the World Bank Regional Director for the South Caucasus. Socar plans to construct a chemicals plant for refining oil products in the town of Poti, supposedly will employ 2,000 people, but they always say that. Some Georgian European businessmen are building or have built a hotel in the highest point of Nadikala Fortress. It's a four-story hotel with 50 guests, which is a little scary, but of course they have to have a view, which means that you'll be able to see it from the city, and I haven't seen a hotel up there, so I don't know, maybe it's planned. Juice is investing 20 million euros to build an entertainment center with an aqua park on the Tbilisi Sea. It will be ready by next summer. Construction of a new ski resort begins on the Goderzi Pass in Ajada. The Austrian government is supporting the project with almost 11 million euro. A Banana Republic store will open at the Tbilisi Mall next week. The Tbilisi Mall, I know, is the mall out by in the Northwest Territories, out past the embassy, the U.S. Embassy. This summer, five more stores will open there, including Superdry, Clark's, and Cotinfiel, and a Gap. Air Astana has added a fourth flight to the Almaty-Tbilisi route. Extra flights will be on Tuesday. Total round trip ticket will start from 266 euro. Georgian Railway has set up a Yerevan-Makhinjaouri-Yerevan fast train. The train will run every day until the 30th of September. Ticket prices range from 28 lari to 69 lari. For those that don't know, Makhinjaouri is the Batumi train station, but is also on the Kobuleti side of Batumi, so you can sort of use it for both. We are, by the way, getting great reports of the new fast train to Ajada that is only 4 hours. I still find that hard to believe, that there's a train that's faster than driving in Georgia, but that's what I've heard. Anybody else who's taken it, please let us know and give us a full report. Hats off to Georgian Railways if that is indeed true. So, announcements. On Friday, tomorrow, the 22nd of June, Kolga will be showing The Help, which is just a charming little movie. I'd recommend it. On Monday, the 25th of June, is Amores Perros, Mexican movie from 2000 in Spanish with English subtitles. And on Wednesday, the 27th of June, The Kids Are All Right, fabulous movie, USA 2010 that I'd highly recommend. All of them are 8 o'clock. That's across from Rustavelli Metro and McDonald's in right between Tatsminda and Vera in Georgia. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email address is tbilpod, tblpod at gmail.com. Post to the forum on our website, which is getting more and more active. That is, of course, at www.tbilpod.com, T-B-L-P-O-D. See you there. Keep the ideas and stories coming. We appreciate them. And now, from 1976, Wild Cherry with Play That Funky Music.